later on. But there's a dogma that you absolutely cannot contradict that dogma. It's part of the pious thing that's been handed down through the centuries of the monarchy in God. But you have to somehow explain, and St. Basil does an admirable job of it, in my opinion, explain how three persons and that monarchia all go together. How does that fit in our faith? Because we express them all in our worship, so that Greek word for piety, our worship expresses it, but how do we explain it, you know, to the world? And so it seems like there's a lot of there's a lot in those particular names that St. Vincent hands on to us. It's, you know, worth paying attention and seeing, well, what did these particular fathers do? I mean, St. Augustine basically does the same thing. He tries to take the dogma concerning the Holy Trinity and explain how this can be in his great work, the De Trinitate.
Mm-hmm. And now we'll talk. I'm gonna avoid the temptation to start talking about Saint Augustine right now in the context of Saint Vincent's commonitories, because they weren't exactly friends. they were on different sides of a question at the time. But so hopefully we'll get to that later. But so there is this principle of conservatism, to give it a very sort of generic label, a principle of doctrinal conservatism, that we're conserving what has been traditus, what has been handed down. And that is clear in the writings here of St. Vincent. I mean, the conservative principle of keeping holding the faith of the fathers who passed it down to us is so explicit all throughout this work. It just permeates it. And it's so much so that he's constantly railing against vain novelties. He's using the language of St. Paul to Timothy about the profane novelties of words. Now, yet there is also in St. Vincent's work a notion of doctrinal progress. The Catholic Encyclopedia says the two chief ideas which have principally attracted attention to the whole book are those which concern faithfulness to tradition and the progress of Catholic doctrine. And then skipping ahead, it says not to remove all chance of progress in the faith, but that it may grow after the manner of a grain and the acorn, provided it be in the same sense, eodum sensu ac sententia. Here comes the well-known passage on dogmatic development. So there is that passage that he quotes that's actually there's a passage from St. Vincent Lorenz Commonatorium that's cited by Vatican I.
Yes.
So, and if you don't mind, I'll just read it. Vatican I says this: "Hence, too, that meaning of the sacred dogmas is ever to be maintained, which has once been declared to Holy Mother Church, and there must never be any abandonment of this sense under the pretext in the name of a more profound understanding." Now, that's the Fathers of Vatican I. And here, they're quoting St. Vincent: "May understanding, knowledge, and wisdom increase as ages and centuries roll along, and greatly and vigorously flourish in each and in all, in the individual and in the whole church, but this only in its own proper kind, that is to say, in the same doctrine, the same sense, and the same understanding." So that last bit is a quote right out of St. Vincent. So could you talk about the notion of progress and how then you can get, along with this concept of fidelity to tradition and conservatism, you can get a progress of understanding?
Well, sure. I think it's really fitting that you quoted the passage from Vatican I, because, you know, we're dealing with something more or less contemporaneous with Cardinal Newman's era, at least. And then the other thing is that same passage on the Constitution of the Catholic Faith in Vatican I mentions how, well, it shows a distinction. So it says that progress in understanding of the faith, of revealed truth, is not like progress that you'd find in the philosophical sciences. Basically, we could find out that what we held to be true once upon a time, incorrectly, in the philosophical sciences, with some new, you know, discovery or some new knowledge, we somehow figured out that what was held as true before by almost everyone and almost everywhere is somehow not true now. So the beginning of that paragraph where they quote St. Vincent of Lorenz and Vatican I, they make sure to distinguish, you know, is this a different type of progress we're talking about?
Now, when you talk about, just if I can cut in here just real quick, when you talk about philosophical system, that would embrace any sort of natural knowledge, right? Even what we would call the empirical sciences, correct?